is all powerful, all knowing. And so we got to tap into the love of our Father, who cares for us and loves us and leads us in our life. Because without Him, we are nothing. Welcome today. We're going to have our daily devotion today, right now, as we look into 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 to 12. And this is talking about preparing for war. And as they are preparing for war, there's two ways as you prepare for trials, tribulations, temptations, challenges, anything you do, when you go into it, it's going to be challenging. There's going to be trouble. But then who do you turn to first in order to prepare for your battles, for your war? Who do you turn to? And if it is the Lord our God, glory to God, praise God, you are on the right track. But if it is not, then beware. This message is just for you. Amen, Ella, TGR. Hello and welcome. Thank you for the thumbs up, for the like, subscribe, and we're going to get started right now. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 to 12. It says, "For 3 years, there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. And the king of Israel had said to the officials, 'Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram?' So he said to Jehoshaphat, 'Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead?' And Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, 'I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses.'" Now, you can see there's two characters here. There's King Ahab of Israel, and then there is King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And so, right now, they're in a dialogue, and they're thinking, should we not retake this region? How should we do it? But Jehoshaphat, he replied and said to the king of Israel, "But we should first seek the counsel of the Lord." And this is important, how the heart of King Jehoshaphat was not to seek the heart of people, the heart of man, the heart of what they want to hear. I can hear you, outlaw. So, Jehoshaphat said, "We should first seek the counsel of the Lord." So the king of Israel brought together the prophets of 400 men and asked them, "Shall I go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And then they said, "Go," they answered. Yeah. "Go," they answered, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat, he asked, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord? Is there not one prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" And then the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I dislike him because he never prophesies what's anything good about me, but it's always bad. And he is Micaiah, son of Imlah." And the king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once, and dressed in their royal robes." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Hello, welcome, Tammy. Oh, good to see you, Paige. And now, Zedekiah, son of Kenana, very nice name. The son of Kenana made an iron horn, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says: with these you will gore the Armenians until they are destroyed." And all the other prophets were prophesying the same thing: attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious. And thus said, "For the Lord will give it to the king's hand." Let's pray. And welcome back from the youth trip. Amen. I'm so glad you are here. Father God, you are so good, so amazing, so wonderful, and I thank you that you are in charge and that you have chosen us to hear your word and spread your word and to be part of your kingdom. Lord God, I pray that this word would be impactful, that you would speak to us and let us grow in you as we look and fellowship in your word. And Lord, let this devotion be a time when we learn, when we grow, and when you bless each and every one of us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, I know. God is so good. Hey, congratulations on getting baptized over the weekend. God is so good. And we're talking about Jesus, who never lets us down. And so, Marley, Dylan, Nico, I am so glad that you are here. We're going to put our life upon his firm foundation. And wow, it looks like bullying is a big problem. And when you're getting bullied, number one, you got to turn to the Lord and ask God what to do, to give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment in what you do, so you have a clear, sound mind. You know, bullying's not right. I'm not for it. And so that's why we must, absolutely must, seek counsel from the Lord, just like King Jehoshaphat said right here. And then we can learn as we reflect here. We have to pursue God's approval, not just seek what we want to hear and say, oh, 400 other prophets said to go and fight, so I'm going to do it. But then, if they're not righteous, if they're not of God, and they're just here to tell you what you want to hear, then there's going to be a problem, because we always must walk in his ways and build our life upon his firm foundation. Amen. So, some reflection is that we, number one, we must pursue God's approval. King Ahab, the king of Israel, and King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, they meet and discuss the retaking of this province from the king of Aram. And Jehoshaphat supports Ahab, but advises him to seek divine authorization for the war. In this brief scene, we can see a distinction between man's will and God's will. Jehoshaphat realizes and recognizes Ahab's desire for gain, self and personal gain, but he wants himself to be ensured that they have God's approval and that they are following God's will. But based on God's response, they will change their decision about the war. In the battle between our desire and God's desire, let us likewise make him the center of our decision-making process. And as we face challenges in our daily battles, may we regularly inquire of the Lord and follow his will and put him first. Allow him to build his will upon our life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that's why we must humble ourselves and not be proud. We must listen and read the word of God to hear what he has to say for us. And so we want to glorify him and say, you are our Lord, our Savior, and we will follow after your ways, whether or not it's against our own will or it's, yeah. So, because may he increase and I decrease. Amen. Christ is your firm foundation, and he never lets you down. So we must pursue God's approval, not our own approval. Amen. And number two, it's a true prophetic voice. Ahab, he gathers about 400 prophets, false prophets, who affirm his desire for war. Jehoshaphat, however, seems to suspect bias and peer pressure. So he asked for one more prophetic voice. And Ahab mentioned that there's a prophet called Micaiah, whom he despises because he's always been given negative prophecies by this man. However, when Jehoshaphat insists, Ahab agrees to hear Micaiah's what he has to say. And Micaiah has a formidable task ahead, as he may have to go against the desires of the king and the word of 400 prophets. And so sometimes we may face similar situations in our life, which we are the only one willing to speak the truth. And in such circumstances, may you be courageous in standing up against any opposition and stand firm for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wow. So you must hear the voice of the Lord. As we look into the Word of God, I know this can be very helpful for you. So you want to listen to the very end. Amen. And this passage in verse 22 is the final passage of 1 Kings. And then we'll move on to the next. When what is the next? Well, God will show us. Amen. So, an introduction to this chapter is that there's a surety of God's judgment. And it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant subject at all. It's not a topic that a lot of people want to hear discussed. For the picture of judgment is that of perfect justice being executed by God. You see, if you did something wrong, then you deserve to be punished. Right? Like in the court, when you did something wrong, you're going to get a penalty for your mistake. Like for murder, there's going to be a bigger penalty. For stealing, there's also a penalty. The judgment, which is a picture of being condemned for evil, for sin, for wickedness. Judgment is a picture of suffering, of the penalty for disobedience and lawlessness. For having rejected the Lord and broken His commandments, no people enjoy hearing such a picture of punishment, of inflicted pain. So, my brothers and sisters, you are still here. And we are here to be educated. We're here to grow in Christ. We're here so that we can be equipped to help others know of the warnings that is to come and how to avoid that judgment. Well, judgment is for everyone. To avoid the condemnation of the judgment for the evil, for the lawlessness, and for the sin. Nevertheless, God warns every generation of people who live within the universe. There is a climatic day of judgment in the future, and every person will give an account before himself, before God. And God is going to execute justice, straighten out the wrongs that have been done by any of us against Him and against other people. For example, all the Hitlers and other mass murderers of the world, all the judges and leaders who have twisted and taken advantage of the law, all the citizens of the nations who have lived a sinful and wicked life, all those who have rejected and cursed God and His Son, the Lord Jesus, and all those who face condemnation of God will be excluded from His holy presence, and never will they be able to allow to live in the new heavens and the new earth created for the Lord and other believers. They will never be able to, unless they put Jesus as their Lord and Savior, unless they walk in God's ways and say, I am not perfect, and I need God to come into my life. I need God to change me, transform me, because I am broken. I'm powerless. Monica, Bolger, amen. Heaven, the spiritual world or dimension, is only for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who live in holiness and righteousness. Every human being must have the opportunity to escape the terror of God's holy wrath. Right? Do you have the opportunity? Yes, you do. They must be given the opportunity to live eternally in heaven, the place prepared for believers and holy angels. The surety of God's judgment is coming, and it's a major lesson learned in this scripture from this whole passage. And today we're just looking into the first part. Amen. Amen. So, this death of Ahab in chapter 22 of 1 Kings is Ahab's alliance with Jehoshaphat, which is an unholy, worldly union. And then number two, Ahab's false prophets consulted, a readiness to listen to false teachers. And then tomorrow we'll probably go through Ahab's death, predicted by the prophet Micaiah, and the surety of righteous prophecy of God's word. And number four is Ahab's death, the surety of God's judgment. So we can see here that there was an alliance between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, then Israel and Judah. And Ahab's alliance with Jehoshaphat, this alliance is a picture of an unholy union of worldly and evil associations. Welcome. And then it is a perfect picture of a godly man, Jehoshaphat, and a failing man, who, King Ahab, failing to remain spiritually separated from the ungodly Ahab. Wow. What's going on in UK, by the way? And I see you. Is that true? Welcome. And we can say messy. Anyways, my nose is getting stuffy. But after Ahab's victory over Syria, there was a three-year peace between Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. In fact, the two nations have combined forces to withstand the rising threat of Assyria. The Assyrian king, his name was Shalmaneser. I see. Well, we'll pray for the world to come back to God, because, yeah, you're right. People are in pain because they do not know God. So the Assyrian king, Shalmaneser III, had attacked Korkar in 853 BC to stop his push into Syria. The Syrian forces formed a coalition that included Ahab and the Israelite forces. The Syrian coalition was successful in turning back the Assyrian forces. The fact is a note that the Assyrian threat apparently occupied the attention of Ahab during the 3 years of peace and coalition with Syria. And during the third year of peace, or the treaty with Syria, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, he visits his father-in-law in Ahab, his son's father-in-law, Ahab, in the northern kingdom. Remember that the families of Jehoshaphat and Ahab were related through marriage of Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, and Ahab's daughter, Athaliah. And also keep in mind that Jehoshaphat was a godly ruler, faithful to the Lord, which we actually see. We actually see within the other books in 1 Chronicles. And before the visit of Jehoshaphat, Ahab had become concerned about reclaiming the strategic highlands of Ramoth-Gilead. And many years before, Syria has conquered Ramoth-Gilead. But when Ahab defeated King Ben-Hadad 3 years earlier, the Syrian king promised to return the cities to Israelites. And Ramoth was a major city in the tribe of Gad, just 28 miles east of the Jordan River. The city commanded all commercial and military traffic between the sections of Israel and the East Jordan nations, and thus it was a very important city for Ahab to reclaim and possess. Hello, Shawana. I'm so glad you're here. Yes. When God is not in the government, then the government becomes divided, and the government becomes not in line with God's will. That's why it becomes really hard. And so we stand with God, God's plan. Amen. Amen. So Jehoshaphat, he visits him. He appeals to the Judean king for alliance to retake Ramoth. And despite being a true believer, Jehoshaphat agreed to the alliance for political purposes, but he was later condemned for an unholy and worldly alliance and association. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2, it says, Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, so you bring wrath upon yourself from the Lord? Wow, that's in 2 Chronicles. And remember that Ahab and his infamous wife Jezebel has launched a purge against the prophets and of the Lord, no doubt killing many of them. And Jezebel was determined to eliminate the worship of the Lord from the land. Being a true believer, Jehoshaphat suggested that he and Ahab first seek the Lord's counsel before they attack the Syrian stronghold of Ramah. But note that Jehoshaphat has already agreed to the unholy, worldly alliance. Yeah. So what can you learn from this? We're going to get some lessons. Worldly unions with evil associations are forbidden by God. For when we are associated with evil people on a regular or continual basis, they influence you. Eventually, you find yourself participating in their sin, evil ways. Consider these examples, guys. This is so important for you guys. So important. It's time to break unholy alliances. Amen? Wow. Yeah, it is. It is time to break those worldly unions, the evil associations that are forbidden by God. For when you associate with evil people on regular and continual basis, they influence you. For example, if you associate with someone who games all the time, you'll most likely become a gamer. If you associate yourself with someone who drinks or does drugs and alcohol, then you'll most likely be influenced by that. And then if you associate with someone who struggles with gambling, then there is a big possibility that you might fall into that gambling. So you must, absolutely must, cut off and delete the evil associations that are forbidden by God. Because it is to protect you, your time, your energy, your resources, your money, your treasures, your relationships, your emotional health. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with godly and righteous people. And these examples, you got to consider. If a moral person regularly fellowships with an immoral person, he or she is enticed to behave immorally. Catherine, Bishop, yes, I'll pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And then another is, if an honest person associates regularly with thieves, he is eventually influenced to participate in the stealing, whether shoplifting, whether it's breaking into homes, or what do you call that? In the house sitting, it's a terrible problem right now in the States. You sit in the house and you say you're a tenant, and then you claim the house as yourself. What is that? Anyways, I don't remember. My mind. But dear Lord, give me clarity so I can reach out to my brothers and sisters. What is it? Anyways, holding up shops, defrauding. And then if a person fellowships regularly with gossipers, complainers, grumblers, then the person is influenced to take part in them damaging and shameful conversations. That's why you should always walk in the ways of God. Amen. Hello, Jeff. Glory to God, for He is good. I'm so glad you're here. Haha. Hey. Man, you guys are funny. Someone said, am I from Guam? I'm not from Guam. Never been there. It's a small place. If you associate with someone who uses profanity, or like vulgar language, then you'll most likely absorb it. If you fellowship with people who dress in modestly, expose the human parts, and participate in partying, then you'll be influenced to do the same. Hello, Crystal Fortunes. Glory to God. I'm so glad you are here, Jeanette. Amen. So that, without question, Chloe, you are influenced by the people whom you are associated with and fellowship with. For this reason, God demands that you live lives of separation, lives that are separated from evil and wickedness of this earth. God demands that you set your lives apart to Him and His life, walk His life of righteousness and His holiness. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. Amen? So you walk day by day as you naturally come in contact with people who are living in sinful lives, co-workers, schoolmates, neighbors, relatives, working public, the host of other person. You have to walk in the ways of God. You have to preach His word, preach His name, and trust in Him. Amen. God demands that you do not engage in sinful ways, nor participate in their fellowship. We are not to fraternize or socialize with unholy, worldly people on a regular basis. Key word, regular basis. You can go and share the word of God. Go and teach the word of God. Go and be a witness for Him and sharing your gospel, your testimony with others. But you must not do it on your own accord. Amen. You must consult God first, just like King Jehoshaphat did so too. I'm going to drink some water, but we're here for Jesus forever. So type Jesus forever if this is helpful. Must be the chair. I'm sinking in. But hey. I'm going to move this back so we can see Jesus forever. Hey, man. Man, I got to say this. Sorry. But I really want to have a good conversation with everyone here. So, thank you, Janet. Thank you. Jesus forever. Shawana, amen. Ooh, I feel better now. That water is better. So, take heed to yourself, guys, lest the times your heart be overcharged with drunkenness, cares of this life, so that this day upon you, you would be aware. That's Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Our favorite part is going into the Word of God. I love going into the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive and powerful and is here to bring us closer to God. Amen, amen. So, John chapter 15, verse 19 says, hey, Tammy, Crystal, Shawana, thank you so much, Jesus forever. Haha, I see you. If you were of the world would love his own, but you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he did testify and exhorted and kept on encouraging them, saying, be saved from this perverse, this twisted generation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect, which is the will of God. Amen. Mercy. Macy. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or idolater, or reviler, or drunkard, or swindler, not even eat with such one. Hello. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil communication, behavior, conduct corrupts good manners. Do not be deceived. Do not be tricked. You see, it corrupts good manners. And that's why you must walk in his ways. Have pure, good communications. Evil communication could be like cussing. Could be like saying evil things like gossiping. So that's why it's so important to continue walking in God's ways. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16. Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what's Belial? Or what believer in common with unbelievers? And what agreement hath the temple of the Lord God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow. He reminds us that we are the temple of the living God. Just like God says, I will dwell in you, I'll walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. That's wonderful. It's wonderful. And then, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. Therefore, come out among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Amen. Wow. I'm unscrewing this. Ooh. Now, I commanded you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which Jesus hath received us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. This is helpful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 25. By faith, when Moses, he come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of the sin for a season. Moses, by faith, he refused to be associated with Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him, who brought him into the family of Pharaoh's kingdom. He could have just enjoyed it. He could have indulged in the sin. He was well educated. He was well versed. Yet he chose rather to suffer with the Israelites, suffer with the people of God, to represent them and to speak for them and to say, let my people go, and to lead them out of bondage and out of slavery and out of the things that are holding them down. And so rather than choosing the pleasures of the world, he chose to walk in the ways of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not in the Father, but it's of the world. So do not love the world. Do not follow after. Like the world says, follow after your own heart. But God says, follow after my heart, God's heart, the Lord's heart, then you will find true satisfaction. True satisfaction is when you follow after God's heart. Amen. It's so easy to say, yeah, follow after yourself. Follow after the world. Follow after society. But that's what most people are doing. That's the wide road. But that's not the road God called you to be. Amen. Exodus 23, verse 2. And you shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in dispute, as to turn aside after a multitude in order to perverse justice. You shall not follow the multitude to do evil, neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to pervert or arrest or twist judgment. Wanda, amen. That's why we must follow Jesus. Put Jesus first. Have Jesus in our life. First forever. Amen. I think this is helpful. Exodus chapter 34, verse 12. Take heed to myself. Take heed to thyself. Yeah. Take heed. Watch yourself. Guard yourself. Be on alert, lest you make covenant with the inhabitants of the land which you are going to, or it will become a snare in your midst. So, as the Israelites, they were going into the promised land, God says and warned them to watch yourself. Don't make deals with the non-believers. Don't make deals with the nations that are ungodly. Instead, walk in my ways. Remember your covenant with me. Remember the promises I have given to you. Trust in me. I will provide for you. I'll give you the promised land as I have promised your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I promised them that I will give you and provide for you and make you a great nation. And in order to have a great nation, you need to have people, you need to have wealth and land. And so, they had to trust God for that. They had to trust God. If they did not, then they would not receive it. And when you trust someone, you have to extend this faith, this good faith, that they are trying their best, that they will deliver. And that's one of the key components of business. If you want to be successful in any business, you got to live up to your promises and then deliver even more than they would expect. And that's why there's a term that says, under promise, over deliver. Under promise, over deliver. But of course, we want to always be rooted in the ways of the Lord. Not in our own ways, but in God's ways. Because we know and we trust in His plans, in His promises, that He never lets us down. That He's got better plans for each and every one of you. Amen. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. Wow, that's beautiful. Blessed is the man. Blessed and happy. Happy is one who does not walk in the counsel of the evil, of the ungodly, of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the ways, in the seats of scornful. And that's why you must associate yourself with the right people, with people who love the Lord, with people who are rooted in His Word. Because it's so easy to be influenced. It's so easy to be taken advantage of. It's so easy to be tricked. into doing something that is wrong, tricked into thinking that something good, I mean, something wrong is good. The bad is good. The evil is good. It's so easy because the heart is deceitful. But the truth of God is absolute, and the truth is the truth. Psalm chapter 119, verse 115 says, "Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." And may you declare this in your life, to cut off, delete those things that are causing you to sin, causing you to stumble, causing you to walk far and far away from God, so that you can keep your commitment. Say, I will keep the commandments of God. I will follow in His ways and in His promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the ways of evil men. Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Who keeps the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shames his father." And Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1 says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Israel, O Jerusalem, O holy city. For henceforth there are no more coming into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Yeah, I've been bullied. Yeah, me too. So we absolutely must associate with the right people, with God, and let Him transform us. Let Him build us up. Amen. I'm so glad, Crystal Fortunes, that you're here to hear the Word of God, to allow Him to speak to you and build you up. That was just the first 5 verses. We're going to move into the next verses from verse 6 to 14. And so there was Ahab's consultation with his false prophets seeking godly counsel. And this shows just how deeply engrossed Ahab was in idolatry and false worship. Remember that Jehoshaphat had just requested that he and Ahab seek godly counsel before they attacked Syrian city of Ramah. And Ahab, he was ready to seek godly counsel, but from false prophets in his court. In his courts were false prophets, were idol worshippers, were people who just told him what he wanted to hear. And that's big danger, when you have people around you just telling you what you want to hear, instead of correcting you and guiding you towards the right direction, instead of being godly and giving wisdom and understanding, there is danger. So Ahab, he summoned 400 prophets of his own court, and he asked them if he and Jehoshaphat should go to war against Ramah. And all the prophets predicted victory, that they assured the king of success. Not one single one predicted failure. But Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, a genuine believer, had a godly desire aroused within him and a desire to receive counsel from a true prophet of the Lord. Somewhat whining, Ahab responded that he knew of only one of such righteous prophet, but he personally hated that man. He stated that the prophet, he never said anything good about him, but yet instead always predicted evil against the king. And the prophet's name was Micaiah. And notice that Jehoshaphat, he rebuked King Ahab for making such a negative statement about the prophet of the Lord. And he urged Ahab to summon this prophet. Granting the request, the king of Israel sent official an official after Micaiah and the Lord's true prophet. Ooh, and let's see what happens. Note, this impressive scene of event takes place, and the two kings were dressed in their royal robes, sitting in their thrones, on their thrones by the city gates of Samaria. And standing before them were 400 false prophets, and either leaders among the false prophets were all the prophets, one by one, stepped forward to give their counsel, assuring the kings of victory. 400 prophets were false prophets, assuring the kings of what they wanted to hear, of victory, of winning. The chief prophet, Zedekiah, had actually made a set of iron horns and claimed to have a special message from the Lord. With these, the iron horns, he predicted that two kings would gore the Syrians to death. And in unison, all the prophets agreed, urging the two kings to attack Ramah and assuring them that the Lord would give victory to Israel. Welcome, everyone. But a dramatic eruption was about to take place in the next two verses, in verse 13 and 14. The officials who had summoned the Lord's true prophet warned Micaiah to agree with the other prophets, predicting victory. And this was the way to please the kings and to secure their favor. To stand opposed to 400 prophets would be foolish in the eyes of the officials. But the prophet Micaiah, he boldly responded, and he would proclaim only what God said, only what the word of the Lord said. And note, the true prophet swore by an oath that he would proclaim the word of God. What can we learn from this? We can learn that Ahab, he sought the counsel of false prophets, which is the most unwise step for anyone to take. He sought the counsel of liars, of cheaters, of people who did not truly hear from the one true God. He sought counsel from the ones who would just tell him what he wanted to hear, what his mind wanted to hear. He wanted to hear victory. He wanted to hear that his greed was okay. He wanted to hear that his mind, his ways were okay. And so that's why they found favor with King Ahab and favor with Jezebel, because they told him what they wanted to hear, even when it was a lie, even when it was false, even when it was leading them towards ruin and destruction. He still let them rule and counsel him. And far too often, pulpits of the world are filled with false prophets who preach a doctrine rather than a doctrine of Christ and of his holy word. And their focus is not on the word of God. Their focus is on greed, on money, on prosperity, on success. Their focus is on those things first before God. If you put God first and the word of God first, and that's what we do here. We put the word of God first. Then you cannot be wrong. You cannot be wrong. When you only speak God's word and let God's word be the things that come out of your mouth. Some doctrines are just a feel-good message. Some doctrines are just promising you false promises. Some doctrines are just telling you lies and saying, Christ is not king. Christ is not God. Christ is not the way, the truth, the life. You got to work for it. You got to earn it. That's not true. The only way to heaven is through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to his kingdom, to a relationship with the Heavenly Father, is only through Jesus. There is only one way. Many people might say that there's many, many different ways. Hello, wow. Who is that? Welcome, welcome. I see you. Thank you for the stars. And they ignore the truth of God's word and they seek approval of their congregation by tickling their ears with message of positive thinking and self-esteem, or by placing an overemphasis on healing and miracles rather than a particular spiritual gift. CJ, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Or by placing, and these messages, they are important for positive thinking, for self-esteem. Healing and miracles are important, and the spiritual gifts are all a part of God's word. But the whole counsel of God's word is to be proclaimed, including the entire doctrine of the Lord and his salvation. The life of the believer is coming, resurrection, and judgment, and all the other teachings of God's holy word, both negative and positive. Yet the false prophets seek merely to captivate you and pacify you, giving you a message that they feel will secure your approval while enhancing their honor and recognition. Diamond ring, come boy Z. Wow, you guys are sending a bunch of things here. Glory to God. We know that God is working. He's building his life upon us. We are building our life upon his firm foundation. Amen. Amen. Yeah. But, guys, this is important, that we must also guard against false teachers who stand behind the lectures of our schools, seminars, convention halls, civic clubs, courts, legislature, and Bible classes of this world. False teachers mislead us, misled a lot of people into believing half-truths, untruths, and serious doctrinal errors. And so, we must listen to the strong warnings of the Holy Word of God against false prophets and teachers. Welcome. I am tired today. I'm tired even now. I might just go to sleep and rest a little more, and then I have a meeting later on. Meeting at 9:30, I believe. Yeah. Anyways, Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. We hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, against strong warnings against false prophets. Hear it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whoever shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, and shall also be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Savagekin, hello. Amen. Savage, I see. Hello, Savage. It says, whoever then knows one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever teaches God's word shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want to be called great. Do you want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven? In the kingdom of heaven? Yes, you do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15-20. It says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered by the thorn bushes, or figs or thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. This is a good passage. I like it. I should share this with my fellow brothers and sisters. Oh man, I'm tired. Much to do. I think I slept too little. But I will go to sleep later. Yeah. Oh no, I got a puzzle piece. Yeah. Okay, let's keep going. Yes. CJ, man, your wings just keep coming up. Let's just keep going. I might just preach on this. It's a good passage. I might not seem so passionate, but I think it's so important. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 to 9. It says, "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy to you. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." People honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from them. You see, there are false teachers. Well, the people honor me with their lips. So people in general, they honor God with their lips, yet their heart is not in the right place. They say, "Lord, you are good, and we glorify you in everything that we do," yet their heart is not truly feeling or truly right with God. They know in their heart they don't want to do it. They're just doing it to conform to the world. And so it's so important to be careful about what's in your heart. Crystal fortunes? Amen. And then Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. It says, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false prophets and false Christs shall rise, and they shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even elect. You have King James Bible? Yeah. I have that too. I have both. Thank you, Crystal Fortunes. I really don't know what to do with the nuggets, by the way. I really don't. But, I love you. I love you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. I marvel at you. I'm amazed that you are so removed from him, that you are caught into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some trouble, some that trouble you. Ah, see, King James Bible can be difficult to read sometimes, but that's why I read both versions. I'm amazed that you are quickly deserting him who called you by grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you, and you want to destroy the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you the gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is accursed. As we have said before, so I'm saying now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is accursed. Crystal Fortunes, you're in two places at once. How are you on like and on YouTube at the same time? But hey, amen. I'm so glad you're on both. Just to support and to walk in his ways. Amen. Amen. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. Nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give to rise more mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and good conscience and sincere faith. For some men, strained from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about what they make confident assertion. You're doing better? Amen. Falsetta. Amen. Man, there's a lot. But this is important, that we keep reading the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. And the Spirit explicitly says in the later times that some will fall away from the faith. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of the demon by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience with the branding iron. Yeah, it is tough. It's not easy. Graham, you're welcome. Glory to God. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not give sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, and he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about the word, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicions, and constant friction between men and depraved mind and depraved of the truth. Who suppose that godliness is the means of gain? Oh! Wow, this is huge. This is huge. I think this is important. Because a lot of people would say, okay, godliness is a means of gain. So I be godly so that I can profit, so that I can gain. And that's the wrong mindset. You should be godly because you want to lead others to Christ, because you love God, because you want to walk in his ways, because you want a relationship with him. Amen? A lot of people are motivated by wealth. I'm going to be godly because I want wealth. And when they gain that wealth and that blessings, then they're like, oh, I don't need wealth anymore. So what happens to the godliness part? What happens to the following Christ part? It falls away. No longer do they need godliness because they have wealth. So it's a wrong mindset to have. The right mindset is saying, all my time, my talent, my treasures, it is God's. All the wealth I accumulate, it is God's. I am nothing without him. I have nothing without him. So I give it all unto him. And I will be generous and give back to him all that he deserves because it is his in the first place. You will gain when you walk a godly life. You will gain in your relationships. You will gain in your successes. You will gain in your treasures, in your talents, in your skills. You will gain. You will. It's the promise of God. You will gain the promises of God as you walk in his ways. But we must go back and say, we are not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this for God. And we must, absolutely must, watch our heart and not fall to worshiping the gifts that's given to us. Instead, we worship the giver of the gifts, who is Yahweh, God ourselves, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. And that's why so many people, their lips are praising him, yet their hearts are not in the right place. Where's the verse? I'm looking for the verse where I read about their lips being praising God. There it is. From Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 to 9. This is a good devotion. We glorify God. Amen. I know this is helpful for many of you guys. I'm learning as well. I'm being inspired. I think this is helpful. And that's why praise the Lord that you are here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to hear or have their ears tickled, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This is exactly what happened to King Ahab. He was so evil that he and his wife began purging and destroying and killing the righteous prophets of the Lord. And they kept the false prophets who worshipped false idols, who turned the people towards false gods. And so that's why it's so important to have sound doctrine by the word of God, to allow him to build us up, teach us and lead us, and to build our life upon his firm foundation. There is no doubt that he's working. Too many people just want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what they don't want to hear. We have like selective hearing. Or selective hearing. Yeah, we do. That's the human mind. But you must, absolutely must, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all unto you. Amen. Julie Black. Amen. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back. Just let it sink in for a minute. Where is your heart at? Is it right with God? Is it walking with him? Is it allowing him to transform you? Or is it just living the way you want to live? You have to reflect. Are you following in his ways? Are you walking in his righteousness? Are you hungry for the word of God? Or are you hungry for chicken nuggets? The word of God should be sweet like honey, rich like gold and silver. For we know it all belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. I'm actually feeling a little hungry. Tired and hungry. What a bad combo. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting the whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain, for the sake of self-gain. Hey, OG boys. This is a warning. I appreciate your warnings. Do you appreciate the warnings from the Lord, from God, about false prophets? Do you appreciate the warnings so that you can turn towards the one and only true God, that you can be self-studiers of the word of God? I give you a shout out. You give me a like. OG boys, amen. Anyways. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly introduce self-destructive or destructive heresies, even by denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. Maligned. Reptile lover, hello? Hello, hello. And then Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 5. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt, who brought you out of slavery and redeemed you from the house of slavery and seduced you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. I like this because God called us to purge evil away and out of your life. Queen Jezebel, she was purging righteousness out of the system, out of the kingdom. And that's why the kingdom led to its downfall, to its destruction. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. And the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so, but what will you do at the end of it? What will you do when priests bear rule for their own authority? False prophets prophesy falsely. I see you, Tashirin. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. And then the Lord said to me, the prophet are prophesying falsehood in my name, and I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false vision, divinity, futility, and the deception of their own mind. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. And thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the word of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They speak vision of their own heart, not of God's heart. They speak vision of their own imagination, not the mouth of the Lord. Ooh, three more verses. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 2. Son of man, prophesying against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who are prophesying again from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. We must be inspired by God, not be inspired by ourselves. We must let God be our inspiration, source of inspiration, and to walk in his ways and to praise him and let him be the one that, the one that is lifted up in our life. Wow, Dylan, 9 years old. Well, glory to God. I'm so glad you're here. How old is everyone? And then you use your mom's or your grandmother's account. But you're 9 years old. And you love hearing the word of God. And so, we praise God. For you are the next generation. You are to take this mantle, to carry on the word of God. You open the word of God. Read it for yourself. Study it. Make sure Pastor Josh is correct. Amen. Zephaniah says, and her prophets are reckless, treacherous men, and her priests have profaned the sanctuary, and they have done violence to the law. Crystal Fortune, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And then Zechariah chapter 13, verse 3. And if anyone still prophesies, then his father, mother, who gives birth to him, will say to him, you shall not live, for you have spoken falsely in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother, who gave birth to him, will pierce him through when he prophesies. Wow. We can really see how God is working, how God is alive. How there is a true prophetic voice, that one voice, you should recognize, you should learn, you should walk in that way. Because without his guidance, we would be all lost. We would be in a place where, undesirable place. Without his mercy, without his truth, we would be lost. And that's why Jack and Freya, he's calling to you, shouting out to you to turn back to him. So let's pray. If you have any questions, any comments, any prayer requests, let me know. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us and leading us and showing the way. Lord, there is no one like you. And we thank you that your wisdom surpasses all understanding, that your glory is beyond our imagination, that you are all-powerful, all-knowing. Lord God, I pray that you would teach us to walk in your ways, to build our life upon your firm foundation, that we would listen to people who love the Lord and not associate with people who hate the Lord. And Lord God, I pray that you would allow us to build a life upon your firm foundation, to also to grow in you, to love you, to build this kingdom, be part of your kingdom, and to build your community. And Lord, for those who want to accept you as their Lord, and Savior, pray this with me. Oh Lord, we come before you. We are humbled. We believe that Jesus came to earth to die for my sin. He rose from the dead, defeating sin and death. Being alive, he made a way for us. Oh Lord God, come into my heart. Transform my heart. Let your power reign in me and give me the ability to speak your word, to be your servant, and to be your child. Lord, I thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Application questions. Some testimony from my own side to you. You can also answer the question in your own heart. Amen. It's number one. Love of the universe. Hey, amen. Thank you. What battles are you currently facing? I'm currently facing lack of sleep. No discipline in sleeping. I need to sleep. Okay. Number two. How can you inquire of the Lord first and make him the center of your decision-making process? Well, through prayer, through the Word of God. Actually, last night, I was eager to make more videos. I was eager to read the Word of God. I was reading from Ephesians. It's so powerful, so alive. And so, that's why... that's kind of why I stayed awake. But I still need to let God calm my mind, give me the sleep I need. Number three, how willing are you to speak the truth when you have to stand alone? Crystal Fortune says, you have inspired me to share the word of God in my broadcast. Amen. Sound willing. I'm willing to speak the truth as well. Stand alone. Yeah. But I know I'm not truly alone because I know God is with me. God is my heart. Thy Holy Spirit never leaves us and guides us and protects us. Number four, what testimonies give you the most courage to stand firm for the Lord? Testimonies. Jesus' testimony that he rose from the dead, that he defeated sin and death, that he is all-powerful. Testimonies that he's victorious, that he has good promises, good blessings for each one of us. Testimonies that he is true to his word, that he never lets us down. Testimony that he brings us out of darkness, out of addiction, out of the lies of the devil. Testimonies. And what is my testimony? Well, make it short. Grew up in a Christian family. Was a lukewarm Christian. Wasn't on fire for him. Didn't seek after him. And then, when I was 25, I fell away. 24. Fell away from him. Far away. Became completely isolated. Just gained my way away. And then fell into a toxic relationship. I was broken. Broken. Crying. Lost. But by God's divine intervention, he set me free. He brought me into his presence in his church. And he brought me into a life that's dedicated to him. And There, he brought me out of isolation into a community. He brought me from being broke into being having everything I need. He brought me from being in a toxic relationship out of that into a new relationship, into a loving wife. Now I'm married with baby Pan coming. He's given me so much more than I can ever ask for. All my talents, my treasures, everything I have is his. I am nothing without him. He brought me here to be with you guys so I can speak into your life and we can build our life upon his firm foundation. This is our God that we love, that we praise, that we honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, may God be with you. May God bless you. And may God continue walking with you. Panda out. Amen. Thank you for being with me. And may you guys join me in the next live stream. Thank you for the like, the thumbs up. Thanks for the gifts, guys. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Panda out for like. Amen. Panda out. Love of the universe. Amen. For TikTok, Panda out. For TikTok, amen. Panda out for all other social medias, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Panda out. Out, out, out. Glory to God. Time for me to get some Z's. And then I have another meeting, amen. Thank you. Praise God. Ha ha.